not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of the Tariq Elite Radio Show. Glad to have everybody tuning in. We're broadcasting live from Los Angeles, California. And we're going to chop up some real good game on today's show. The phone number to call in, ladies and gentlemen, is 818-850-5404. That is the number to call in. We're going to take some calls and we're going to chop up some real good game. What I want to talk about today, I want to talk about the football player Richard Sherman. I want to talk about his situation and go real in-depth about that. So we're going to talk about that right here on the Tariq Elite Radio Show right after these messages.
The Roadside 911. The Roadside 911 company not only offers top-of-the-line roadside assistance such as car towing, gas delivery, and unlocking your door and jump-starting your vehicle, they also offer hospital coverage in case you happen to be in an accident. They also offer bail bond coverage if you happen to get caught up in a DUI. And they offer benefits as low as $20 a month. You can't beat that, ladies and gentlemen. Go to theroadside911.com. Again, that's theroadside911.com. Guys, do you know that your testosterone production drops by 2% when you hit the age of 30, and by 40, it takes an even sharper decline? Elite Alchemy has you covered with their Extreme Test dietary supplement, and it's known to break up bound-up testosterone and allowing it to flow freely. Extreme Test dietary supplement is also packed with vitamins and minerals believed to stimulate testosterone production and offer a heightened effect, increasing male enhancement. You get all of these benefits and much, much more for the low price of $38.95. Check out Elite Alchemy's complete line of products. Go to EliteAlchemy.com. Imperial Hustle Entertainment. Now, they give great independent media for urban culture. Check out their magazine that's geared towards models, music artists, and entrepreneurs. It's a perfect, affordable publication for music artists to get their music heard. Their publications are available throughout Southern California and select locations nationwide. Find out more by going to imperialhustle.com or call them at 619-866-4792 and connect with them today. That's imperialhustle.com.
You're now tuning into the king of game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
What's up, family? We are back right here on Tariq Elite Radio, and this is your host. This is Mr. Tariq Elite. Glad to have everybody tuning in. I had a cold this week. I almost didn't do the show today. I had to cut my Ustream show short this Sunday because I was sick and I couldn't finish the show, and I was toe up this week. And last night I was like just really toe up with my sick. I think I had the flu or fever or something. I don't know what was going on, but my legs was hurting. I was fucked up in the game. Dizzy, couldn't walk around, you know, I was real messed up. So I've been out of it for the last few days. And I got better today. I woke up and I felt much better today. I'm still a little under the weather, but I'm cool. I'm manageable. I'm making it do what it do, and I'm here for the family. And we did some filming for Hidden Colors 3 Monday. I had to take some ibuprofen, some painkillers, and I had to fight through that shit. We're doing a lot of reenactment scenes, so we had to do that Monday. But after that, man, I was like out of it for the last couple of days. But hell, I'm here, and we're going to make it do what it do, family. Let me get some calls before I get into the game. Hold on 1 second. What's up? Who's calling?
Hey, what's up, Tariq? It's Free Will Coach Nelson.
What's up, family? Where you calling from?
Kansas City, Missouri.
There you go. What's on your mind, fam?
Man, I just wanted to say thank you, man, for all the game that you've been spitting, man. I just got done with a divorce, man.
Oh, wow.
And things was kind of tumultuous or whatever, and I tuned into the show, and everything just kind of been going smooth, man, because I got that game and see the game, and everything just been real copacetic now.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that, man. How you doing after the divorce?
I mean, I'm doing good, man. I got joint custody with my daughter. Everything's kind of coming around, you know. I've humbled myself and just really just being practical about everything, and everything's really good, man.
Absolutely, man. I'm glad to hear that. Thanks for the call, family. Glad to hear my man's getting it together after that divorce. What's up? Who's calling?
Yeah, I want to know about In Close 3.
You want to know?
Just now on the internet.
You say you want to know about Hidden Colors 3 if it's on the internet?
Yeah, that's now on the internet. Like, I don't already know.
Now, what's your name, bro?
One of your fans, Ian Foreman. I've been watching your show for like 3 years.
Your name is Ian. You've been watching the show for 3 years, and you want to know if Hidden Colors 3 is on the internet?
No. My brother's gonna
he wants to know what he should tell people like to pub up, you know, your movie to make sure that everybody goes and orders it.
Oh,
to make sure that, you know, that's all.
Oh, okay. You just like when it's about to come out, just tweet it, just let everybody know on social networking, and you know, let your friends and family know on a grassroots level. Now who is this? How many people on the phone?
Well, I'm his older brother, so I'm like sort of like his teacher. I'm like his Jedi master, so to speak, of this black power thing.
All right, now how old is he? How old is the dude?
Well, Ian is 18, and I'm 32. So
okay,
so we've seen you know Hidden Colors 1 and 2. You know, we just showed it to everybody, so we've been fans for a while.
Yes, indeed.
Matter of fact, I read your book. What was that? The Art of Mackin'.
Yes,
when I was his age.
Oh, cool.
So I've been, you know, a fan for a while.
Oh, much respect, man. But when Hidden Colors 3 is about to come out, man, just let everybody know on your Twitter and your Facebook, and let everybody in your community know, and we're just going to work it on that grassroots level, man. But thanks for the call, fam.
Yep.
Yes, indeed. My man needed a representative because I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I ain't going to lie. I'm glad the representative came in because I didn't know what the fuck he was saying. What's up? Who's calling?
Yo.
What's up, man? Where you calling from? Sound like you calling from a goddamn hot air balloon. Where you flying to?
Let me.
Hello?
Okay. Yeah, man.
Go ahead.
This Rich the Factor calling from the Bay Area.
What's going on, man?
Hey, I'm calling. Can you touch on? Oh shit. Hey. Okay. How the popular young men of the city is able to change and give the community involved and interested in the things like you're trying to do.
Okay, now, Warfare, why are you reading what you got to tell me? Sound like you're reading it. Why you got to read it? You had to write it down?
No, I'm not reading it. It's just echoing, so I'm trying to make sure you hear me.
Tell me, did you write it down and are you reading it back? Come on, man, be honest. Did you write it down?
No, I'm being honest, man. Okay. I'm on the phone at work, man.
It sounds like you wrote it down and you can't even you can't read your own handwriting.
Like, man.
You write notes to yourself and then can't read it. Take out the trash and check the mailbox. I'm fucking with you. But no, so you want to know how can young dudes do what I'm doing?
Well, no, not do what you're doing. I feel like me, myself, I'm 26. I'm a popular man in my area. And I have a way to get people included, and I'm showing them like the Hidden Colors DVD, getting people interested in black history and stuff because we didn't grow up with it.
So I'm
trying to see how is a way like young men like me who know pretty much half the everybody in the city could get people involved and entertain them and get them want to be involved and help out, because I feel like the pimps and hustlers and all them, they could put up money. We could create galleries and all the stuff, as much money as they make every day,
right,
you know,
right.
But we don't have that mentality. So it's like, how can we reach out to them and get them to get on this path? Like, man, let's do this. We could be the change. Us in our 20s could be the change.
But it's just all about getting people with the right mentality or the same mentality and just getting out and doing it and putting your money where your mouth is. Don't just depend on certain people in the community, because that's the thing. We need to depend on the pimps. We need to depend on the athletes. No, all of us can put in some paper and get the shit done. But the problem is, don't nobody want to really do that at the end of the day. Everybody wants to be on that budgeted shit. We want to trick our money off on like shoes and we fuck around. We put our money on what I call the three R's: rims, red bottoms, and Remy weaves. You know, just bullshit. Basically bullshit. But again, it's something that we all can do. We all put our money together and we can make it happen. But thanks for the call, family. All right. Let me get into some game. A lot of folks are calling, but let me chop it up with the family And y'all excuse my voice. I'm not going to get too loud. I'm trying to keep my voice tame because I'm still a little under the weather. But again, I'm going to talk about Richard Sherman. I want to talk about our brother, the football player, the NFL player, Richard Sherman, and his situation. Before I get into that, a lot of people sent me the story about this white woman in this article. She made a chair. It was like a chair made out of a black woman. A lot of people sent me the story on that. It was in the Huffington Post. You guys can Google that. It was some kind of woman who's an editor of some magazine in Russia, some shit like that. I forgot what her title was, but there's this art piece she did where this white woman, she's sitting in a chair, and the chair is made out of a black woman. It's a black woman who's like kind of strapped together with her legs cocked up, and the woman is sitting on her like the black woman is a chair. And a lot of people were offended by that, and rightfully so. And I think that they did it for the fact or for the reason to be offensive, so they can give publicity to their magazine. A lot of people do that. They'll use black folks to get publicity. They'll do something that's deliberately outrageous because they know at the end of the day, all we're going to do is give them attention. We're not going to really hurt them where they need to be hurt, which is financially. So they know that a lot of us, we're just going to talk a gang of shit, especially the so-called black feminists, the people who should be mobile enough to do something about a situation like this. This is why I get on the black feminists all the time. If you're supposed to be an organization that's about helping black women, how come none of you really do anything to help black women or to further black women's issues or to create something tangible for black women? Nothing. And other people know this. They know that all you're going to do is troll on Twitter, and that's not a threat. So if it was up to me, there's a lot of stuff that I would get popping as far as that. But I think people should call out those within our community who are supposed to look out for issues like this. If you're supposed to stand up against issues like this, how come you're not really doing anything tangible about it? Because there's a lot of things we can do. Hit these motherfuckers up where their sponsors are. Because again, if somebody did a white woman like that, like a white male or somebody who made a chair out of a white woman, or a black male made a chair out of a white woman, or even a black woman made a chair out of a white woman, I mean, those white feminist groups would be up in arms. You see the Gloria Allreds and the Tammy Bruce, all those women, they'll be out there in the streets making noise, making things happen. But again, with us, there's a lot of Twitter trolling. Twitter trolling is not activism, family. I'm sorry. Trolling on Twitter is not activism. That's just wallowing in powerlessness. And black folks are going to have to stop doing powerless bullshit. Because people see our powerlessness and they're going to keep on taking jabs because they know we're going to just wallow in powerlessness. Not me. I get shit done. And I say that very humbly. We got to create parallel communities, parallel economies to combat this type of stuff. And that goes into the theme of today's show. We're talking about the myth of equality. That's the theme of today's show. We're talking about Richard Sherman and the myth of equality. Because the thing is, man, no one can make you equal. That's the thing. We look for other people to make us equal, to give us equality. And if another group of people or if another person can make you equal, then you're conceding to their superiority if they can make you equal. Nobody should be able to make you equal. Doesn't work like that. You have to make yourself equal. And the thing is, you got to surround yourself around enough people who are on the same page as you. You got to get rid of all the poisonous people, because equality comes from you being in cahoots with other people and you have the same goal and you can elevate yourselves together and then form a power base that way. Our problem is, in the black community, we surround ourselves by the wrong people. We surround ourselves with a lot of poisonous people who dissipate our energy, and then we in turn end up wallowing in powerlessness over and over again. That's the problem, and we got to get rid of that. We got to get rid of those people around us. And we got to charge motherfuckers to the game. We got to know who to charge to the game, and we got to know who to bring around us. And the thing is, man, it's very, and like I was telling the caller earlier, it's very important to communicate on a grassroots level. Because the thing is, a lot of times we use the internet for just gossip. And we can't just use the internet for gossip. We need to utilize the internet for information purposes. We need to utilize this shit as a means to get out information, or as a way to give information or to learn information. See, the thing is, a lot of people, especially black folks, a lot of folks don't know what's going on outside of television. Just like what my man called earlier, a lot of people, and I hear this from a lot of folks. There's some people who don't know about Hidden Colors. Now, a lot of people know about it. Hidden Colors, as you know, is the most successful African-American history documentary ever. And thankfully, that's from a grassroots level. It got that way on a grassroots level. And that was by design, because we knew that mainstream media outlets, it's just not their job to touch a documentary film like Hidden Colors. That goes against everything. There's a reason why we see the promotion of 12 Years a Slave and The Butler and The Help. I mean, I literally see 12 Years a Slave references every single day on television. They're getting all types of awards. That's not a coincidence. So they're not going to be so gung-ho to promote something like Hidden Colors, which goes against all that. And that's fine. I know that going in. So I wasn't even expecting that. That's why we made it successful on a grassroots level. I already knew that going in. But then you have some black folks who hit me up, or hit me up on Twitter, and I see people like, man, I heard about Hidden Colors. Is it, I ain't never seen it on BET. Have you heard that before? Have you heard some niggas who talk like that? I've been watching BET. I ain't seen nothing about it on BET. Niggas like that are going to die. If something goes down, niggas like that are going to die first. People who are dependent on what they see on television, what they hear on the radio, they are going to go first, because that means that they're plugged in, they're brain dead. Because if shit went down and they shut down television, shut down radio, them niggas are going to be lost. So you got to be in a position to do things and move and shake on a grassroots level. Notice the song I played on the beginning of the show, The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. That's a song by a brother named Gil Scott-Heron. For a lot of my young listeners out there, and most of my listeners are very young, that was a musical lesson for you. That's a record that came out, like, I think it came out 1970, almost 40-something years ago, about the revolution will not be televised. And everything about that record is true. When it's time for black folks to really get stuff done, you're not going to see it on television. You can't depend on that. I want y'all to go back and really listen to that record. Listen to that record the whole way through. It's a very deep record. They don't have records that deep no more. But the thing is, if you're dependent on the system, so to speak, when the system shuts down, you ass out. Y'all remember recently when they had those EBT cards that shut down? They were doing a test run. They were doing a test run to see how people were going to react and how fast they might need to move and shake to get shit popping. But they were doing a test run when they shut those EBT cards down. There's some niggas out here who were just confused. They didn't know what to do. Ass out. And they put the camera right in there. The news outlets went out there with the cameras. There's a bunch of confused niggas out there not knowing what to do. So if you're dependent on the EBT cards and the television and the radio for your information, you need to wean yourself off that right now. And I'm not saying just throw it out the window, but understand and learn how to get other information out there. You got to learn how to get information and to relay information on a grassroots level. Because if shit shuts down, you're still going to need to know how to communicate. And a lot of the information you need is just not going to be on BET or VH1. It's not going to be there. And that's a harsh reality for a lot of people out here to realize. But it's not a bad thing. That's just the name of the game. And again, that goes into equality. Equality is something that you have to do for yourself, and you have to get out here and you have to be active. A lot of people don't want to be active. Equality is something that you have to create for yourself and create it with other people who are thinking on the same terms as you. But we all thrive for equality. And the thing is, in America, the only place where black people have full equality within the dominant society is in the sports arena. That's the only place where we have full equality inside the arena of sports. Notice I said the arena, not the industry, because we're not equal in the industry. Because, you know, you have the owners and all of these people. It's definitely not equal. They don't have black team owners like they have the other ones in the dominant society. But as far as the players inside the game, the field, the court itself, that's where the equality is when the game is actually being played. That's why a lot of us thrive to be athletes, because that's where you can be your full self without any kind of repercussion. But even that's dangerous to a certain degree, because what happens is, the minute the buzzer goes off or the bell rings and the game is over, you immediately have to humble yourself and fall back into your right place in society. Immediately. Inside of the game, during the game, you can be as arrogant, as cocky as you want to be. You can be the best you want to be. But when that buzzer goes off, when that game is over, you better get your goddamn mind back right and humble yourself and be a good nigga. And that brings us to the Richard Sherman situation. Now, for those who don't know, Richard Sherman, great football player. He was playing a game the other day. And after the game, he did an interview. And he was real cocky. He was real arrogant. And there was a white female reporter interviewing him. And he was like yelling in the camera, yeah, such and such, Cranberry, something. He's a mediocre player. He was talking about one of his opposing team players. Yeah, he's mediocre. That's what you get. But, you know, he was just really talking a lot of shit after the game, doing a lot of post-game shit talking. And he got in trouble for the post-game shit talking. The social media networks lit up. They were calling him all types of niggas and thugs. He was all types of niggas. Nigga this, nigga that. Go look at Twitter. Just type in, go to Twitter, for example. Type in Richard Sherman and nigga and look at all the shit you see come up. They were going in on that brother. And the thing is, that's all about him being in his place, because the thing is, you're equal on the playing field. But in the dominant society, there is no equality. Equality is suicide within the dominant society as far as black folks. Black folks were never meant to be equal in the dominant society. Everybody knows this. Don't get it twisted. We try to show and prove how equal we are. Everybody knows within the dominant society that it's unequal. It's designed to be unequal. It's unequal so that other people can thrive. It can never be an equal playing field if we leave it up to the dominant society. That's a harsh reality. That's a harsh reality. So when we try to point out the inequality, people play dumb. When we try to point out the inequality in the jail sentencing, in the arrest, in the housing, in the schooling, people play dumb, but deep down they know. They know it's unequal. It's designed to be unequal. That's how other people can thrive. Because they know once it becomes equal, we're very competitive. And we will normally exceed people if it's an equal playing field. They know this. Anybody who says I'm wrong, please hit me up. Show me any situation where black folks were on the same equal page as other people, we thrive. I show you all across the board where we thrive, but we're on an equal playing field. We start off on an equal setting.
we thrive. Just like in education, we can look at education. A lot of black people in America are miseducated. When we look at the education system, a lot of black children are funneled into special education based on small behavior traits. If a kid lashes or if a kid talks too loud in class, he'll get funneled into a special ed class for any minor reason, whereas other kids don't get that type of treatment. So a lot of our children are funneled into a system of educational inequality, whereas, and I talked about this in Hidden Colors 1, a lot of African immigrants, when they come over, you know, they got a clean slate and they come over and outperform everybody academically. That's over here in the U.S., Canada, and the U.K. African immigrants are the most educated group. So again, when it's equal, we thrive. And other people know this. This is why they have to maintain a system of inequality. And I can give a million examples, but you feel where I'm going with this. You feel where I'm coming from with this. But the thing is with Richard Sherman, he took the cockiness and arrogance off the field. He was literally on the field, but the game was over and he still had that cockiness and that arrogance. And because the game was over and he still had that cockiness and arrogance, now he's out of his place. And he was yelling, and it seemed like he was yelling at the white female reporter. So he's definitely out of his place as a Negro. So that's why the dominant society felt like they had to put him in his place. And he eventually had to apologize, which is very unfortunate, because that's another thing. When black folks experience racism, he gets called a nigger by thousands of people and he has to apologize. Just like with Oprah. Oprah went through that situation where she tried to buy the purse and the woman was discriminating against her. Oprah ended up having to apologize to her. So that's the new thing. We got to apologize for being treated discriminatory. So again, you got to make yourself equal. And the thing is with Richard Sherman, he's not a dumb jock. That's another thing. Richard Sherman is not a dumb jock. He's a very intelligent dude. Academically, very intelligent brother. Went to Stanford, very intelligent brother. And they do not like intelligent black athletes. They love a mush mouth motherfucker who mumbling. You do, after the game, you do an interview. How was the game? Well, the game was You know, niggas, they love a mumbling nigga who can't talk. They love that. But whenever there's an articulate brother who will let you know why he beat this motherfucker's ass on the field, they got a problem with that. That's why they don't like Floyd Mayweather. I talked about that before. Floyd Mayweather, good brother. Floyd Mayweather, after the fights, he would explain why he beat a motherfucker's ass. And sometimes Floyd would take his arrogantness and his arrogance and his cockiness out of the ring. I remember that one fight where he was doing a post-fight interview and he went off on Larry Merchant. He was like, yeah, you ain't shit. He was just going off on Larry Merchant. So a lot of people attacked Floyd Mayweather. He's an arrogant nigga. That was their whole narrative. They got in on him. So the thing is, man, that whole thing where you have to put the black athlete in his place if he's too arrogant, that goes back to Jack Johnson, one of the first African-American sports superstars. When Jack Johnson would beat people's asses in that ring, it got so bad they told him not to smile. If you knock a white man out, don't smile. And what happened when Jack Johnson would beat up his white opponents after the fight, white people would go out around the country and lynch black people because they were upset that Jack Johnson whooped somebody's ass in the ring. Because it's like, okay, you're equal in that ring, but out here, this is where we run things out here. Outside the ring, this is still us running things. We have to let you know and remind you that we're running the show. That's what that's about. And black athletes seem to always get punished more off the field. There's always cases of black athletes getting pulled over more, getting stopped more, getting charges for different things more. They're getting punished outside of the ring, outside of
the sports arena because it's like them being put in their place. And the thing is, a lot of people like the humble, docile athlete. Just like Joe Louis. Joe Louis was a great boxer back in the day, but they made him, he was very humble, very docile. And that's the one that they used him as the ambassador of the black community to a certain degree. Even Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens was a great athlete, but they would pay him off to be the ambassador of the black community. And he would also not, Jesse Owens didn't speak up for issues of civil rights. Like him or Joe Louis. If you notice, a lot of black athletes around the 50s and 60s, they spoke up for civil rights. But people you'd never hear from were Joe Louis and Jesse Owens. Jesse Owens totally ignored the civil rights movement because he was paid off. But the thing is, they don't want a confident or an athlete that's too cocky or too confident, because if he's too cocky and too confident, that's going to rub off on other black folks. You don't want that. You don't want other black people to be inspired by that. You don't want other black folks to get any bright ideas, you know, like, because Muhammad Ali, that was enough right there. Muhammad Ali inspired so many black folks, they don't want another Muhammad Ali. Muhammad Ali was extremely inspirational to the point. I mean, he inspired people around the world. That black male charisma is undeniable. And brother Muhammad Ali inspired everybody around the world. You know, they tried to get at our brother, too. They tried to put him in jail. And they tried to get at our brother. So they don't want another one of those. But Richard Sherman, he did an interview recently talking about the word thug, because a lot of people were saying he was a thug, he's a nigga and a thug. And he did an interview recently. I want y'all to Google that. And he basically said, you know what, I don't really like the way people are using the word thug, because thug is basically the accepted definition of the N-word now. And that's an excellent point. It is. That's just the accepted definition of them using the N-word. Whenever they use the word thug pertaining to black people now, that's the new N-word. I've said that before. And that's exactly how they use it. They're calling this man a thug. And he made another point. He was like, well, look, I was looking at some hockey players and they were beating the brakes off each other. They were beating each other up. And I'm a thug? How come I'm a thug and they're not? So what's the thug? If it's violence and aggressive or whatever, how come they're not thugs? You understand what I'm saying? So the thing is, we got to understand how people are trying to keep us in our place. And in the sports arena, again, while you're inside the sports arena, everything is equal. But a lot of times when you're too good, you can't take all of that arrogance off the field, outside the field. Because if you take that outside the field or off the field, they'll try to put you in your place. And that's all this thing is about with Richard Sherman. So, you know, I stand by the brother. The brother's from Compton. Shout out to the CBT, the CPT. Shout out to the brother from Compton. I stand by the brother. We need to stand behind our brothers when people are attacking them like this. I stand behind my brother 100%. And I disagree with the way people are attacking him. And black folks, we should stop standing around twiddling our thumbs when they're attacking our brothers and sisters like this. And that's all I got to say about that. Y'all, that's been today's episode of the Tariq Elite Show. Should I get a couple of more calls before I get out of here? Let me get a couple of more calls before I get up out of here, family. What's up? Who's calling?
Good evening, Tariq. It's Akilah from Bedford, Texas. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Akilah?
I'm doing very well. Listen, I will make this really quick.
Yes, ma'am.
I couldn't get online to figure out how to listen to your radio show live. But my husband, he's a spectacular young man. He has been listening to you for about 2 years.
Yes.
And within the last 6 months, he has put me on to you. And it's kind of changed the way I viewed the workplace.
Yes.
Life.
Yes, indeed.
The dominant society. And even my child's education.
Mm.
And I just needed to say thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Because even my child has watched Hidden Colors 2.
Yes.
And when Hidden Colors 3 comes out, she'll be on that too.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, she is the only black kid in her class. Ooh. She attends a small inner city, predominantly white school, and they teach European history as they will teach it.
Absolutely.
And so we are trying to provide her with more self-esteem so that when she comes out of there, she knows that she is a queen.
Absolutely.
And so I just can't thank you enough. I really can't. I've been trying to get through for like an hour.
Yes, indeed.
Just to say thank you. What an inspiration
that.
You are, and just to keep doing the great job that you're doing. You're reaching so many people, and we're all spreading the word, and this is just a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I'll keep you posting on when Hidden Colors 3 is out, all right?
All right. We're ready.
Thank you, sister. And if I forgot to let y'all know, for those who don't know, my brother Nas, the greatest rapper ever, is going to be in Hidden Colors 3. I forgot to let y'all know. Some of y'all already know if you follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I posted the picture of me and Nas. But we got Nas. That's my brother. Good brother, by the way. Nas is going to be in Hidden Colors 3. So we just made it extremely spectacular. After I do the show tonight, I got to get back to editing. I haven't been editing and doing my notes for the last couple of days because I've been sick. But I'm on the grind tonight. And Hidden Colors 3 is just going to be so phenomenal. I can't wait till you guys check that out. Let me get one. No, I ain't going to get no more call. I was going to get one more call. Well, yeah, you know, I am going to get one more call. Let me get one more call. What's up? Who's calling? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
What's up, player?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's going on, man? Well, I had to get one more call, and this motherfucker's phone is raggedy. What's up, man? What's on?
Nah, man, what's going on? It's Tim from Philly, bro. What's going on with you?
All right, Tim from Philly. What's on your mind, Tim?
Ain't nothing much. I just want to thank you, man, for shouting me out on the Facebook through the message and hooking me up with your book, man. That did wonders for me, cuz.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, man. I appreciate you. Thank you for the call. All right, y'all, let me get up out of here because these people calling up with these janky phones. I appreciate you, family. I like for people to kind of get to the point here. But anyway, y'all, I will see y'all Sunday on Ustream. Holla.